Thank you for joining us. We waited for you.
It's 5:50.
59.
Okay.
Okay.
It's still late tonight.
Okay. We'll go ahead and get started. I'm Lisa Schmidt. I'm the chairperson for the Clark County Solid Waste Commission here, and we make recommendations to our Clark County Commissioners in regards to the issues of solid waste. I want to start out by going around the table. I think we'll start this way because we are welcoming a new commission member representing the city of Vancouver. So you have a little bit of a lead on what you might want to say about yourself. I'm going to go ahead and let Brandon Vick maybe speak to who he represents. We're all assigned particular areas. It's a good reminder. I represent small cities and towns. Brandon?
I'm Brandon Vick, represent Clark County Business, have a small business in town, and inside track in the legislative process, too.
Vic Baker, county at large.
Don Edison, I'm the solid waste industry rep.
And vice chair of this committee. Oh, don't forget that, ever.
Jack McCray, Southwest Clark County.
Bill Kerr, Vancouver City Council, and I was elected in 2011, so I'll go through 15. And it's nice to be here. I talked to Jeannie Stewart about you, and she said she had some pretty nice words about you. And I've got a couple of you, though, that I'm supposed to watch out for. So everybody be on the lookout. You may be one of the two. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hi, and I'm Sabra Hall Nelson, and I'm the note taker.
You weren't one of the two.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm Anita Largent. I'm Division Manager with Environmental Services.
Okay.
And I'm probably the other one.
Probably not.
And I know we'll have a chance to hear from our audience. I'll spare you for a moment. We'll work it in. I do want to do what I think is maybe the most important thing here tonight, even before we go over minutes. And, you know, I want to particularly thank Joe, because Joe obviously has a magic wand. You know, Harry, I just knew it. It's so like you to just, you know, I'll give them just a little short little notice so they can't, because normally we would be months ahead on the homework and such. And yet, you know, when it comes to yourself, it's your personality. I put a few words together. And, I hope that, that we all might appreciate this, and if anybody wants to add, to this. But, Gary, from Department of Health, you worked with the Solid Waste Commission since 1993, and, today's recognition is for over 21 years of service with us. And I feel it was very fortunate of me, as chairperson especially, to have you, Gary, as an advisor here to the commission. I'm sure you questioned that at times, but I feel very fortunate. We're all very dedicated in serving Clark County. It is the only thing, clearly, that I think, binds us, is the dedication of everyone here, because we are not taking home these paychecks. And I know that many audience members are here of their own, on their own time. And it isn't because you don't have anything to do on a Thursday night. But for everything that I might have given, in regard to solid waste, I think there's so much more that you have done for me. And so I tried to capture a few things. There are a few things that kind of captured in my mind. And so here were some things that I particularly appreciated. The greatest power you have is the power to choose. And, while Lou Holtz said that, I believe that Gary has always represented doing what's right and avoid doing what's wrong. He's brought forth ideas that have given us ways that, we can learn and we can benefit from making more careful choices in making our recommendations to the Clark County Commissioners, and I appreciate that. Next, life is an adventure. Don't be afraid to get off the beaten path, because very few have already trod there. That's William Shatner's line. It can be questionable when one might give so much in service. Makes it even harder sometimes to work your day job, when you do spend upwards of, sometimes we have been here through 8, 9 o'clock on a weeknight, and go work the next day. We've been lucky to gain insights as opposed to taking a wild ride on a few issues that I think we could have. I appreciate that. We all need humor in our lives. And as I see it, humor is the secret to getting through life and getting the most out of it. That's Jerry Lewis, and I thought we really needed him. However, always representing the better health of Clark County, Gary's legacy here with us truly tapped the choice to keep a perspective. One of my favorite moments was about our chicken population at one point, and I will never forget that. Mostly in regards to the rats that came with it, but, you know, you get the drift on that. And I see Bill's excited already about serving on this commission.
I like chicken, so it's okay.
Okay. You know, and for a meeting that, you know, left me wondering about, you know, what might be the recommendation that, you know, I would or we would give, you know, to our commissioners. Gary overcame the obstacles, even the ones we put out there, and I'll take credit for any that I did. But mostly, you know, I'm left with the idea to cherish what is truly priceless that I've learned in working with you, Gary. And that may be to finish right. And thank you by being here right at this moment. You absolutely have done just that. None of us have the right to get a big head regardless of what we've accomplished, and you've accomplished so much, and in part we have because of your help. Gary makes it a point to always thank those around him, and I especially wanted to note that because that's what you would be doing if we didn't make you endure this moment. You would be finding a way to thank us. And, you know, I just want to remind everyone, you know, there was even a motivational moment that Gary, I have to believe, you are motivational even in your own office, even though I'm not there through those hours, because I have hanging in my office some button art. And so you have always made it a point, I believe, publicly and privately, to say thank you. And so we can see the difference, you know, made beyond, you know, the work here. And, you know, Gary, I hope you see the difference you have made to us as a volunteer commission, those trying to do right, and to the actions, you know, as a volunteer commission, through your wisdom and what we can do to help make better guiding decisions. You truly have brought, I don't know, and I don't want to offend anybody here, and I don't want your head to swell up because I don't think it would. You have always contained that. But I just so appreciate that, and I appreciate the moment to just be able to say thank you.
Wow. Thank you. Wow.
If it weren't for our wonderful staff members, we wouldn't have. Isn't this a Facebook moment? Shouldn't we be taking a picture?
I got a picture right here.
Okay, perfect. Anita, get up here. Get up here. You know what? How did the whole commission? This is a thankless. Come on, guys. Come on, right now. Right now. Don't even say no.
We'll get that one first, please. Get that one first.
Yeah, Rich. Come on.
Yes.
It's an Oscar
moment.
You know what? Hey, get up here.
No, no, no. We need up here. We need
to get up here. All right. If I stand on a chair, you'll be able to see me, but otherwise, let's see. Tallest people in back.
We're not tall, but we're big over you. Yeah, exactly right. Excellent. All right. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Thank you. I hope you won't be a stranger.
That's been a lot of nice words.
You can send anonymous letters every now and then.
3 years and I'm sure to count.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And Gary, I would just like to say that I certainly appreciate all of the years that we worked together, all of the collaboration, and remind you that you're not off the hook. There are other things
Joel.
That we're going to work together on.
Okay.
But I appreciate it.
Wow, that's quite something. But I have a couple of words.
Hi, Gary.
I'm sorry. I just jotting down some things just off the top of my head this morning, or this afternoon. But I really am humbled and honored that you take the time to provide me with a special recognition. I really am. I mean, I thought last time, you know, let's see, 93, that was over, it's over 200 SWAC meetings, and then you make me come to another one. Just kidding. But I do remember the days when I first started attending the commission meetings, and Tom Barton was director of health, and that facilitated, that was way back and probably in the late 80s or something. But at that time, there were a number of active landfills, transfer stations, biosolids, utilization sites, recycling facilities in Clark County, and including lots of complaints on illegal dumping. So, but not too long after that, Brian Carlson was hired as a public works solid waste engineer. He brought some great ideas, and still to this day, he's a great resource to us all. We now have a solid waste system. This is really from me. This is my thoughts. We have a solid waste system second to none, thanks to the work of the commission. Anita, Mike, Pete, and the staff, environmental services, municipalities, including the City of Vancouver, Rich, Tanya, as well as the private industry, including Waste Connections, and Scott. But I'm reminded that, this has come to a thought of mine today. One of the outcomes of the terrible tragedy of the loss of Flight 350 is that the false hopes of finding the wreckage over and over reported debris was just more garbage floating. But, on the other hand, other than a few cigarette butts, none of it could be claimed to come from Clark County. We've got a great system. But I do want to recognize and remember the likes of Mayor Royce Pollard, who, after retiring from the Army, got his political start as chair of this commission. Mike Carnahan served for many years as chair and brought real passion, to the members and staff. Jeannie Stewart for insightfulness and attention to detail. And, all these people there, they're really, I consider, mentors of mine, and I always remember the commitment to the community service they embellish in all of us. But it is amazing that the strikes that have occurred in Clark County, the recycling rates as high as they are now are 50%. As much as we'd like to accomplish, as much as we have accomplished with reducing the volume of solid waste going to the landfill, our next major challenge, as Lisa is so committed to, is to further reduce the weight of solid waste and having to transfer so far, and finding feasible ways to reduce and recycle food waste. Mm-hmm. So with that, I just want to say you're in good hands with Joe and Melissa and representing public health in this community on the important endeavor of continuing to find innovative ways to manage solid waste. And Ali, Joe and I, we back each other up in our program, so we support each other. So yeah, I'm here for another year. So.
Good.
But you really are in good hands with this guy. So I appreciate it again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary.
Wait until the end, because now I feel like I need a glass of wine.
Okay.
And I hope you're going to get to go home.
Oh,
we will excuse.
I'm waiting. That's all right.
Okay. So with that, let's go ahead and get down to business. We have the approval of minutes, November 7th, 2013. Somebody who is present, please, if you would make a motion to accept.
I make a motion to accept the minutes in November 7th.
Ellen Esther makes a motion to accept. Anybody second? I think I was here. I'll
yes.
Second. Yes, I want to make sure memory serves. Yes, I will second those meeting minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Yes, one abstention. Mine, I wasn't here.
Thank you. Recognizing Bill Turley, being new. Okay, meeting minutes of December 5th, November 7th being approved as written. Would someone make a motion for the December 5th meeting minutes, please?
I make that motion.
Okay, Jack?
I second the motion.
Okay, seconded by Richard. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Bill Turley.
Brandon and Bill. And meeting minutes for March 6th. Hard to believe. It almost seems like this should still be March. Would someone make a motion to approve those minutes?
I move they be accepted.
Okay, Richard makes it first. Anyone second?
I'll second it.
Okay, seconded by Don. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
One.
Two.
Bill and Brandon. Okay. Great job, as usual, Sabra. Okay, thank you very much. Having recognized Gary, we will move forward. Okay, we will now hear updates, and with that, because we have such a large agenda, I do want to remind you, as you please give us updates, to keep in mind that anything that leans towards us making a recommendation to the commissioners, we would appreciate that first and forefront, and anything they can wait until next month, we will appreciate that. So who's giving this? Do we have the honor? No.
I'll give it.
Hey, or you can vote.
I'll give it, yeah. Do you want to like go back and forth at each word?
Like you're on the news team?
Yeah,
the
exactly. Okay. No, I'll give it to Gary. No, really briefly, just with as we move forward with the solid waste management plan and approving that, we brought it to our leadership team, just the possibility of wanting to look at our solid waste code for the county and updating that as the management plan is approved, and we can have make sure codes matching and supporting what the management plan is.
Great.
Yeah.
Any questions for that?
Well, we just wanted to let Spike know you're not off the hook after the management approved. We'll put you to work.
We like challenges, you know that. We're not afraid to go off the beaten path, and we have the vehicle to do it. You know it. Okay. Anything to report on environmental or ACP out there?
Well, most of our information is in the packet. It's about our events. April coming up. April is Earth Day and Earth Month, so it's a big month for our group and our community. But I just want to draw your attention to the Recycling Day collection events. I know we've seen this a couple of times now. But they do start on April the 12th. The first is in Yakko. We have 9 going on through the spring and summer and fall. So, and with these events, on the back, it talks about all of the items that are accepted. And so we are accepting a lot of additional items this year. They're expanded, and so it should be really good. We're having the Green Business Showcase on April the 16th. So everyone, we should have a card in their packet. I would encourage everyone to sign and vote for the Green Business event. And Green Neighbors newsletter is in there, which talks about all the events and stuff that's going on in the community. And then maybe as a final, we have submitted 2 applications for an ecology offset cycle grant for a couple of projects, and we should be hearing back in May, so we're optimistic about that as to getting some additional grant money.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any questions in regard? Okay. And with that, let's go to the city of Vancouver.
I'll be fairly quick. I've got some handouts to share. Back in September, I had talked about East Cycle Washington and materials are being recovered. I have a couple more copies here. But I just share these to kind of give some statistics. And then kind of show you first of all, thank you, Cycle. What was required. So Clark County, on map in the front, Clark County had to have 4 locations, and we actually have 20 locations. So we're way ahead compared even to King County in terms of the percent above the requirements that we have. More recent data is on the middle 2 pages. And then the last page, I wanted to mention just a book that might be worth checking out called Junkyard Planet. It's actually pretty good. There's a little quote there off of Mother of Things, I'm not sure where that one came from. So something to check out if you got a little spare time to read in the spring. And then I wanted to mention that the city's coupons for yard debris and tire recycling are going out this week. And so they're good from this Saturday until the end of June. You get those. If you have an electronic bill left, you'll get an email saying, or you can email back and say, please send those to me. And then the last thing I think I wanted to touch on was WSRA, the Washington State Recycling Association conferences here in Vancouver, May 4th through 6th, so shortly after we meet again. But if you're interested in checking that out, you might want to look, Google that and head. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Rich? Comments? Okay, good. I did not see Department of Ecology, so no report. Okay, moving right into our discussion update, clean water program funding proposals. Pete, and come on up here, Pete, because you're kind of an innocent party on this a little bit.
We were wondering, could we get Mike just quickly? Would that be okay?
Oh, sorry, Mike. Did I miss you? Okay.
No, I'm behind him. We're sort of.
Oh, but you wanted to flip it on the agenda?
Then I can come up and say.
No, I don't mind.
Good. The show all. So I'm handing out three things here. One is the master plan open house. Basically, it's our plan for the open house. The next one is the mailer that will go out to the residents around the land bill. That's this one right here. And then the last one that's coming out will be the, basically, it's the handout. And it's also updated, uploaded to the website. There's enough left over for you guys, and we'll get them back after.
Time I'll sit down there, it looks like. Otherwise, we're going to have a very tired lady running back and forth. Thank you, Sabra. Appreciate that. Yeah, okay, got it.
Should have been 17 of each, so it should be. So, as most of you know, we are in the process of money phases of mass planning, lacking line stuff.
Got it.
And the first open house in public is scheduled for Tuesday, April 49th. And basically, we are done with the frequently asked questions. Those have been updated to the website. This master plan update has also been uploaded to the website. We've created a special website address for it, which is listed on this. But the key thing that we're going to do is this is going out to 1,400 residents via mail surrounding the landfill, and it's set up, safe type set up, where not only are the homeowners sent the flyer or the mailer, but the renters are also. So we've got a special program that does that now.
Yeah.
So the real basics of the open house is to try to get those who don't go to the website to the bank. Cooper Church of Christ, which is right on the corner of Patton, and it's on 86th Street. It's the big church right there. Beautiful place to hold this thing. It's right in the main lobby. I think the
the other key thing is to get the information out about the website. So many people are electronics oriented anymore. The day of the big open house, if you're not a coal train or an oil train, that's kind of going away. People want to get all their information off the web. So that's why we're really pushing, you know, have them go to the web.
So for the sake of, you know, Billy, you're new here and such, that each of us have respective entities, and so for communicating this material back, and then when there's feedback, then our role is to push it up through so that...
Okay. That was the question I was going to ask Mike, is that for the city of Vancouver, do you go through our PR person there, Barbara Ayers, to make sure that this gets onto our website?
This is more of a county-oriented project.
Yeah, it is. How far out of city limits is that up there? That's pretty far out, isn't it?
It's pretty far out.
What the 1,400 homes? What kind of a diameter is that? How far away are you contacting people for
that? We're going down to Patton, out to do you remember where?
107th up to 105th and
okay.
East, west to 92nd.
So that gets people pretty much in there.
Swap.
Yeah,
I mean, we're. I actually run this through Brian.
Okay.
So Brian has already reviewed all of this.
Okay. Okay.
So I've
got a meeting come up with him anyway, so I'll
yeah. Yeah. So how it works is, I'll give you just a brief overview. The landfill is jointly managed between the city and the county.
Right.
Through an agreement that was approved last year. And it,
yeah.
Basically, there's two voting members and Public Works Director is one, and then the DES Director is the other. We have to mutually agree on all this, so mm-hmm. it's been vetted heavily.
Right.
And so basically at this point, we're kind of running it all through the county, kind of keep it very centralized. And another case in point of what we're doing to track this is we've also created a email comments. If you want to go to this page right here, it's a special email address. So all the emails go to one address, and then myself, Cindy Sankoff, or Jeff Meisel will periodically review those, and that's for tracking purposes. They also note that we've got the stamp under the same stamp form. It's actually in a couple different places. We've got the website very prominently listed. So this one, like I say, is to get out the message to the neighbors. We've already done one presentation to the largest homeowners association up there, which is North Point Homeowners Association. They're on the northern end, north of 99th. And we expect this to generate some questions. The most active area will probably be to the south. And that's where I kind of expect to get our 60 or so people. We might see as 10% would have been 140, 5%, which has been more typical, would be like 70. This is about what we expect to come through the door. So I don't anticipate this is going to be a huge event as far as an open house is concerned. We are set up where we'll have, in addition, we've got our plan right here, we'll go through that in a second. In addition to what we're doing at Lichen Landfill, 94th Avenue is being widened in 2015, so we've got the project manager for that project also. At this one, we're kind of an initial, you know, this is coming close to, and we've got a couple folks in the Department of Ecology. It will be there. So the open house will be well represented. My concern, as always, is there's going to be a bunch of staff standing around and no one shows. I mean, that's kind of been what's been happening on some of our open houses. As people turn more and more to the web, people just don't come out anymore.
And these are the particular things. I'll take an opportunity to say that I seem to be speaking Bill Barron's name quite often lately. But you know, his recommendation before he had left was for this group to particularly remember what, you know, the focus was by the state legislation in creating us here. And so I just want to encourage all the time, it is better for this group to, you know, to hear what are the ideas, the potential things, and provide recommendations back through in that regard, you know, because no one wants to have those sorts of things happen. Obviously, this is well planned out, and this is an action. But I want to just remember, especially since those were some of Bill's lasting words with me before he left office here, was to be cognizant of the fact of that this group is a capable recommending body, and we would like to do that.
So this is like our first step in getting prepared to provide some two recommended options to SWAC, you know, which would then make their recommended recommendations to the board. Going on in the background of all this is a reuse analysis that's kind of moving right along, and I should be able to provide that actually next month. And at least portions of the draft. I don't know how long it'll take to collate all the comments from the public and kind of move on and start to come up with a cohesive package, but I'm already seeing some things come back from like Eric Hoagie on what the most viable uses are, and so I think you'll find that very interesting. So we're very much at the beginning phases of where this process will take us, and it'll probably be this time next year the fall of next year, I should say. We're already in April. When we're really ready to kind of say this is what we want to do for the board. And then, of course, the board will be brought up to speed periodically also. We have a couple updates scheduled with them also. So this, the white sheet here, this is kind of, I'll close out with this. This is sort of the plan. And we'll be over there starting about 3 o'clock to set up. We'll be ready to go by 3:45, should, you know, early birds show up. And we will have all the attendees sign in. They'll be given a comment form. And we'll have an exhibit set up. And we'll be done around 7. So probably by the time we get out, it'll be 8 o'clock before we're all cleaned up and out of there. If you want to flip this back side of your page, we basically have 3 stations set up, and station 1 is basically, you know, well, there's 4 if you want to count the welcome sign-in. And station 1 is really about what the timeline for all this is, the goals, and kind of an explanation of what master planning is. And that'll be manned by county and Berger ABAM, one of the consultants. And then Exhibit 2, Existing Conditions, this is actually still somewhat in a draft form because in addition to county staff, ecology staff will be at this. And this is where we start to show what the existing conditions are at the site. It'll be a little bit similar to the kind of this map right here. And it'll also have the overlay of 94th Avenue, so that you've got to kind of get an idea of what 94th Avenue is going to look like. And that's where I think we're going to have the most interest. People will kind of mill around in there and ask, that's where they're probably going to ask the most questions. And then they would likely move on then to the free food and provide that's where they would provide the comments. So it's a pretty standardized approach as far as the open house model is concerned. Once again, like I say, I think the emphasis these days is to try to get them to go to the frequently asked questions, go to the flyer, and submit questions online so we can get back to them. But that's the long and the short of it, of the first open house. I do have some news on the Fleischer property, and on this map, that it's called an adjacent property. It's just north of the Leitner campus. The county put in for an integrated planning grant, which is a brownfields grant. We were awarded that grant. The director just yesterday, actually it was today, he just signed off on it. So it's on its way back to Ecology for their execution. And I expect to see that back in about a week or two.
And then at that point, the county administrator is authorized to amend Mall Foster Longy's contract to start the process of evaluating the Fleischer property. And as a reminder, the Fleischer property is slightly contaminated with PCBs. It's approximately 10 acres. And it's also zoned light industrial. So one of the things that when I took, you know, Eric Hovey out and another, some of the other group of that I'm working with to the site, one of the things that Eric said is it'd be really good to be able to include Fleischer in the overall master planning because of the width of the frontage at that point. Gives you a lot more area to work with. Some of the concerns you'll see in some of the reuse analysis is that the back of the Leitner camp at Tchaikovsky is kind of narrow. So it looks even narrower here. One of these days we really need to get you guys out for a tour. I mean, I think you'll be impressed at the land mass out there and really what potential it has. So we should be moving forward with that. If that grant goes well into 2015, so we'll be kind of wrapping up with some of this, but I think we'll have enough answers to there's like 50 grand of that grant set aside to integrate Fleischer into this master planning.
How big is that property?
Fleischer's 10, roughly, okay, 99, and then there's roughly 33 acres at Kosky. So it'd be like 43 acres total. It's flat, all of it is. There's some outbuildings on Fleischer and some vegetation. There's very little vegetation on Kosky. So, I mean, it's pretty well ready to go. Some of the other things we're working on out there is the improvements to the utilities. And I've started talking to the sewer district about running the sewer line across Kosky. It's in the comp plan already. So you might hear more about that later also. Okay. Any other questions?
I'd like to make a comment. And this is really from a historical point of view. As we're going forward with this, I was just reading that it's been in existence since the 30s. Yeah, since the late 30s. And there was five Leitner brothers. And the youngest one of them, Maury Leitner, died last Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah. And in all the years of working with people and everything in this community, I just kind of want to pay a little bit of respect to Lori because of all the people of that family that I've known for a lot of years. He was probably one of the nicest and easiest people to work with. I think anybody that ever worked with him with the city would agree with that. So just as a case in point, we're moving. We changed a generation. We closed the landfill. We closed a bit of history for a long, long period of time.
Am I correct? That's Mike's.
Mike's death.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. So, just so those of you who didn't know, the last of the Leitner brothers is gone.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, I appreciate hearing that. I mean, I'm sorry to hear it, but
I was 86. You lived a fun life, I'll tell you that.
Well, like I say, if you folks have any more questions about where we're heading with this, don't hesitate to call me or email me, one or two. This should go out in about 2 weeks. I suspect it will be picked up by the press. IPG grant and the press release went out on it, and it was picked up by the Oregonian. And we'll see how it goes.
Mike, your email address is the email on Leitner at Clark Watt.
No, that specific one to this project.
That'll get you there. That'll get you.
But more direct is my Mike.Davis.
Okay.
At clark.water.gov.
Mike, I'd like to take you up on that, going out there to the property and perhaps walking it and getting a better idea of the visual on that. And maybe if other people are interested in that, we can coordinate it so you don't have to make one trip out there and show us what you're talking
about.
Sure.
It's actually Very interesting. We've done a lot of work out there to modernize the site.
Yeah.
In fact, we're really close now to having all the monitoring systems online. And so if something goes wrong, we're going to know about it. Not only that, but the data is just rolling in now versus human, you know, a guy going out and writing it down. Mm-hmm. Those days are fast going to an end. And in fact, the groundwater monitor is the last thing that's going to go to the tablet, and we'll instantly be able to update it. We've got the pond levels, on transducers, we're going to have the pumps wired into what we know what the run times are. We've got the gas system all wired in. It's pretty amazing. So, I mean, once I get this webinar set up from SCS, I'll actually bring that in. And we'll do a little demonstration on how that works too. But either coordinate with Sabre when you guys think you can get some time. I'll make time around my schedule to make that happen.
Okay.
We've got some of that going on, monitoring methane right now, and a new project going on near the hospital too. So, yeah, it's a good process to make sure that we maintain that we've got a safe environment for our people to travel over and to work in and live.
Was there an old landfill right there? Or?
I forget exactly what it was. But,
okay.
Yeah. And I think we made a parking lot out of it. I think there's things we're going to do. But it's vented and we monitor.
Yeah, that's not uncommon anymore. It's to vent right outside of it.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Okay. Hey, come on up.
Okay.
So, I want to give a little preface to this because this was added in, and many of you may have heard on the street or heard in conversations that there was a little bit of excitement within our community in regards to the monetary funds that will be necessary in regards to, would fine be the appropriate word, Ryan? Is that the appropriate word that are being... The fees that are being applied here. And here's how we kind of tie into this, because I kind of want to come around to the clean water, holy cow, what is that? But the suggestion came around in regards to a topic that does have to do with solid waste, and that is litter. And so, you know, it gave a moment to potentially looking at what is this committee doing in regards to assisting in the role that it has, and maybe we need to look at how is the communication going. And with that, I know we have a lot of staff here from county, and so... I am a little bit remiss in this because I did just see Commissioner Steve Stewart, and he really wished he could be here. He had a housing issue, and he did say, you know, go ahead, Lisa. You know, you can put, you know, I said, can I put words in your mouth? And he did say so, but I don't want to do that. But he did regret not being here. I did speak with him just briefly about, you know, some of the things coming here. And you know, we make assumptions oftentimes. I'm sure they do this in regards to Anita, Pete, anybody here, you know, our famous, you know, Campbell here that's always getting placed in other ownership situations. You know, we're all important, and I think it, from time to time we all sometimes second guess. Oh, I don't want to bother Pierre. I don't want to call him on that. You know, he's too busy with things. I have spoken with your staff on other things. I don't want to bother Pierre. Oh, you should talk to Pierre. And yet here's a situation that really is a wonderful example of something that went all the way up, happened through the commissioner level. And when I had heard, I had read certain things and such, and so I took the opportunity to outreach. Actually, Don and I each actually had a brief conversation. And, you know, every year we always go and meet with the commissioners, and not all together, but individually, and try to keep them abreast. But we really count on staff. And I think that is what this really comes down to. And I just want to be ever mindful, because all we can do is go forward. And we have such great people here. We're so so capable of accomplishing so much. But if we do not keep up that communication, or if we are afraid to rise to the challenges, then I'm so glad, Gary, you're still here, because, you know, Gary is a model of you know, putting things out there, even things that sometimes we don't want to talk about, and we need to. And I want to remind this commission, sometimes we wait, and I am afraid sometimes we put too much pressure on staff for coming up with, what's our homework? What do we need to do? Where do we need to go? What do we do as a commission member? It is our responsibility to represent those areas that we have been commissioned to do so. And it is our responsibility to, if we have to, challenge staff, to remind county commissioners that we are here because, you know, I took two tacks. One, let me go to the legislature and tell them to disband the very legislation that created us. We have people who well, nobody's being paid here, I will tell you. But there's always a value. We're giving up something. We're giving up value with some, you know, a dinner with a family member, or spending time with a child. And every that applies to every single one of us. So I asked for this item to be put on here, and I recognize we're all unprepared, but maybe what's more important is maybe we do need to sometimes schedule a work session outside of taking the time of all the people who attend this meeting. Maybe we need to have a different means to communicate with one another. I think it's a lot of pressure to put on a group of citizens who come together and represent such large areas, the city of Vancouver, businesses, small cities and towns, the industry, the different portions of the county. I think that's a lot of pressure. And I think our commissioners are cognizant of that. But I heard that from, you know, a couple of the commissioners, we may have a communication gap that particularly happened here. I was slightly embarrassed that some of this came out and litter was mentioned, and yet it was a great surprise to me. And so I want to take responsibility for putting this on the agenda and saying this might be a really difficult time because we're probably all still reeling from the opinions of those we spoke with. Maybe we had our own opinion. But Pete, thank you. And that's why I wanted to step up a little bit because I know you probably didn't even know the can of worms that came with this topic, maybe. I don't know how you could possibly have been adequately prepared unless you might have been involved in it seemed like hours of conversation to me. But with that, your name's attached. Would you mind helping me out here a little bit for the purpose of moving forward? This is new turf, really, for us. But it's not new turf in what the legislature intended for this group, or at least Brandon, please correct me, because you're our expert.
It goes deeper than me. So.
please.
Yeah, I will. I'll say a few things, and I do appreciate your words about the volunteerism and the so thank you. And that drives us forward and challenges us, too, to perform better. So, on the litter fees, we were asked, primarily it was Commissioner Mielke wanted to find out if there were any opportunities to go to the stormwater polluters to raise money so that we didn't have to raise the fee that everyone pays. And so if we could offset that need, and Don pulled together a commission to explore those options.
Of staff.
And again, his disclaimer is that these were just information that we were preparing and giving to the commissioners, and they're the policymakers. So
with that being said, though, I will say the same thing that I had said in separate conversations, that it's important to remember that we have this commission here. And
actually, I agree with you, and I would expand that because there's another commission, too, that...
That probably was maybe even more upset.
Well, I don't know about that part, but should have been in the loop, and that was the Clean Water Commission.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What?
The Clean Water Commission.
Oh, okay.
So I think for the purposes of this commission and the information that did come up is we looked at quite a few of these options, and they were only, the funds could only, they were obligated funds, basically. So we, from a stormwater standpoint, you couldn't put a fee on garbage tipping fees, for instance. You couldn't increase the fee, use that to offset stormwater needs. And the way litter came up, is that what we want to go?
Well, I don't know that I even require an explanation.
Sure.
I think it's in the past. I really wanted to utilize this as an example, as an opportunity to be ever cognizant that when something is presented to come forward, that was the intention of creation by the state law for this group. And because you can't just decide to come and sit at these seats.
Sure.
I would like for staff to be cognizant of if there is something to please come forward. I would also like to take an opportunity, and I believe you may have been a part of this conversation. Having served on this commission for quite some time, years back when we knew we were going to have some funding issues, I had, from my past experience of working in a solid waste district with taxation authority, I might add, had utilized not so different of a measure of taking, and Anita, I believe you are aware of this, if Don, you're not, that it was that our state, the way that our government is currently structured, is that the state offices collect all fines. And you may remember this, Anita, because
sure,
it was the former Environmental Services Director, and we had spoken about that, and some research was done by a state representative through the State House to discover how much of those fees, and it's somewhere in this, in email. I'm sure you may have a copy.
Actually, I think I might still have it.
And now, see, you remember, and this is kind of what hit me as kind of that definition of insanity, Albert Einstein, doing the same things again and expecting different results. And so just a point, and maybe other people, I'm catching everybody from the left side on this, but I was rather, this really caught my attention, what had happened. And I do not come to these meetings for the sake of hearing myself talk. I recognize that, for all of the recording of minutes and putting meeting minutes and, out of sight, out of mind, that our commissioners hadn't listened in actually a number of months. No one could actually say what had happened. I would guess that that may be different after tonight's meeting because they are all aware we are meeting tonight. But that, this is a body that makes recommendations. And yet, all of those bodies of people were somehow not listened to. And I really appreciate, I have shared, and I'll say it out loud, that when I was a staff member on a solid waste district and I had an advisory board, sometimes I thought, oh my gosh, what are they going to come up with for me to do? Don't they know I have enough work? But, we work differently here. I have really come to appreciate the way we live in Clark County. And so mostly, I just really, not that I wanted you to report back
sure,
or report
sure.
the whole thing, but I want us to wake up here, folks. And
well,
and I would like to have recommendations be put through to our commissioners. They expect it. And not a single one of them said, oh my, every single one of them really forgone.
Well, the question that seems to be lighting the hot button is, we deliberately ignored state requirements, thinking we were exempt from groundwater treatment and whatever, that our rules were our rules, and we circumvented the state law. We went to court and lost. Okay. How much money are we in the hole because of our own stupidity? And what is our counterpart, the Water Commission? What are their recommendations to get this fund built back up? The county commissioners, and this is me speaking as a taxpayer, the county commissioners decided to go down this road. That was their policy decision.
When was that?
It was about five years.
Five, 6 years.
Yeah.
They went down the road of saying, we're exempt, we're not going to do this crap because we know better. They were told time and time again, you can't do that. Went to court, got appealed, went back to court, and finally the state said, shame on you.
Right. So I want to stop for a minute and have Pete answer those two. I heard two questions. One, dollars, and two, what Clean Water says.
Well, the dollars are $3.6 million. Okay. That's the settlement. If you look on the scorecard, the last there's the lawsuit obligation, $3.6 million. $600,000 of that is the settlement. Attorney fees that has to be paid in 60 days. It's taken away. So that was 45 days now. That's a separate. And then the $3 million will be used in Clark County for watershed restoration projects. So again, the funds are coming in, they're being used for clean water, stormwater practices in the watersheds.
So we're out $600 in attorney's fees.
We're definitely out $600,000. The community itself is probably, you could probably call that a net loss of $600,000.
Can't they take some of the responsibility because of the way it wound up? We were following their advice.
Colleague? Well, yeah. Well, again, I'm just a messenger here.
My question is, I want to know how much.
I'm solidly commissioned. I messed up in not keeping you alerted, but I was pulled in on this, and I was just had all of a sudden this stormwater visor on.
Okay, but stormwater, and I think this is Lisa's point,
yes.
Is stormwater.
I know.
There is a whole entity of that, and to take... And this is probably a bad thing to say, but I'll say it. Take a half-baked idea and shoot it across the bow of a boat. It's all died down. It's gone away. I haven't heard of it being resurrected again. I think maybe it was a little bit of emotion involved. But solid waste is really our forte.
Yes.
Stormwater, there are people that deal with stormwater.
Sure.
We looked at combining these two committees and decided no, because it would take far longer than I've got to come up to speed on their stuff.
Yes.
So,
well,
as much as I hate to see us in the hole, maybe we do need to step up more. Maybe, Lisa, you and I need to start going back once we're... But you can't fix your brain ideas, and they do come out.
Well, and but to point... What can this body do? Do we say, staff, if it can't wait until a commission meeting, do you send us our willing people willing
actually,
to come and serve?
That's a good question because I made a note to talk to the director about your concerns because I mean that's really what you're talking about here is the flow of communication and how a recommendation that was taken to the board was or was not vetted with the advisory committee. I mean, that's kind of it. And did we mess up? Yes. I mean, no question about that. We messed up about that.
Well, but you were following the direction that you were given. I mean, it wasn't staff's decision. So you have to take management's direction.
And maybe the other thing I would add to this whole topic is that, I mean, litter is certainly something that we can talk about. And if we have recommendations about litter or we think it's a huge problem and we want to address litter, we can certainly take that on and it can be part of the solid waste management plan. It is part of the solid waste management plan, but we can focus on it more and we can have, you know, like, plans on how to better deal with litter.
Shoot them.
That's a plan.
Simple. 6 months, you got the problem solved.
Well, I think, you know, there certainly are, and I, you know, just for the sake of having some conversation, you know, what did we say? We've been given the opportunity. You came here and you said, okay, you know, and nobody could potentially be as prepared for this. However, you know, I always stand that there are solid waste entities, districts, and I guess, you know, my greatest resource, although maybe not, my home state of Indiana has had to come up with lots of, you know, we did have taxation authority. It did require a legislative change. We did have to work on those things. Sometimes there are numerous things that have to happen before things do happen. It is not absurd, to consider. I think before we go out and pick a particular, entity, you know, to go after, I think there are other things. It gives, you know, I was in thought about our solid waste plan. And did anybody go through that plan? You know, we have talked about how it's used. Did anybody go through there and say, well, you know, we have had this problem in trying to figure out compost. Thank goodness nobody figures out compost. But, you know, do we have an opportunity in pursuing something that we see as a challenge? You know, not that that would be the area. This is a conversation sake only. But I think that there are areas that come from here that we do have opportunities. In fact, I think we have really taken the positive tack in working the last couple and just at the last meeting over the economic development and business development chapter. And, you know, how could something like that, it does require lots more discussion, lots more than we have in such a meeting here. It's inappropriate in a way to maybe have a, you know, it sounds like a work session.
Lisa, is there the possibility then that if there's a wide spectrum of things in here, is it maybe some two or three people volunteer to be a committee, a subcommittee, and
That is absolutely a wonderful suggestion, and please let's note that in the minutes. You know, thank you for having a subcommittee, you know, having a separate meeting.
That way we wouldn't have to coordinate all our calendars and devote time.
Back. And yeah. Certainly some areas are more representative of, right, you know, the waste industry and others that are more impacted.
Lisa, we're not going to solve this today, for
no.
Sure. And, you know, in my 35 years connected with hazardous waste, I managed two facilities and owned one. I have tended to see the bureaucracy wind up taxing the wrong people because they look at things in a macro sense, and if it meets the bottom line requirement, that's good enough, even though it affects people in a negative way that didn't have to happen. I could give you several examples of that, classic examples involving Kaiser Aluminum, for instance, in Spokane, and hazardous waste material coming out of our state of Washington being credited in the wrong place, which directly affected every company in the state of Washington that generated hazardous waste because they pay a tax on it. So I think we've got to be very careful how we assess the revenue to cover this thing. I mean, it really has to take a lot of study, and I agree with Bill that we need to take a hard look at this.
Right. And I guess it's a very difficult thing, you know, to say, but, you know, being the outside, you know, boy, do I miss Stephen, because he always identifies himself as a taxpaying citizen. He represents North Clark County, but he was I represent the taxpayers. And, you know, I want to just suggest that if there had been someone from the outside in that conversation, that they might have turned the table, and not that anybody wants to say it, because we're all fighting a hard battle, but, you know, there seems to be a price, and nobody has said that. Nobody donated half their salary back. Nobody, and I'm not suggesting anybody in this room. I'm just tossing out thoughts. But I, you know, for my end, you know, I'm going to be brave and say that I tend to think, you know, Jack, that, you know, this is the hard thing that you know, it just, there's only so much. I worry in my old age that I'm going to have my house paid off and I'm not going to be able to afford the tax. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, with that, I'm going to take that. That's a great suggestion. And I'm going to count on staff to say we have a call for, you know, and we can do this in numerous ways, but I would like to know what's going on. Don, do you have any additional thoughts? I heard you say meeting with the commissioners on a quarterly basis.
Yeah, the commissioners, I think we need to go back to at least twice a year basis. You and I, or either one of us, or both of us. But I don't know Mr. Benton. But is he approachable in this group? I think we need to go talk to him.
Too. Sure. I mean, I think he's very approachable. And, you know, to go back to recommendations, you were talking about recommendations from the group. I mean, you could certainly make a formal recommendation that, you know, how you feel about the newspaper proposal, if you have the newspapers.
And the commissioners haven't weighed in yet.
So. Yeah, I mean, there hasn't really been a decision made. This is just kind of like a laundry list of these are some options that are available.
My personal opinion is so strong, I would be afraid to try to put a professional opinion out.
Well, it's their responsibility, but it's their mess. They got us into this mess. And.
But what you are saying is, what I hear you saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that how is the county taking ownership for, you know, the first thing I'd have to do if I messed up and wrecked my car is, well, okay, that's it. No more Friday night going out to eat. And I don't hear that at all. And is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but it's not just the stormwater. We've got other issues.
True.
You know, and that's an overall bigger problem, well outside the scope of this place. I would like to just go, you and I go back to the commissioners, you and I, or anybody else who would want to be on a commission or meeting to go see Mr. Benton and say, hey, don't forget us. We're here. We deal with solid waste issues. Don't try to get your money for stormwater out of solid waste. We pay a heck of a lot of money in fees. You really sit down and look what part of your garbage bill goes to this and this and this and this and this, and it's an interesting number to split out. Mm-hmm. And we're that cow's not dry, but let's leave that alone. That would be my suggestion.
And so, as is my usual words, please go back to the entities that you represent. So please go back to the city and speak with the other council members on what would be an acceptable way to approach additional revenues need to be raised, you know, from a business standpoint, from the different sectors, and certainly I am due to reach out to some of the smaller cities and towns. But I wanted this on the agenda for that sake of this discussion of how can we move forward in a more productive manner. I do not want any commission members to leave and wonder, what are we doing? What you know, you should be able to leave this meeting at the end of the night and say, you know, I feel good about this. This is what I came away. This is my challenge to get done before the next meeting. And if you don't leave here without a challenge to get done, then we're doing something wrong, I think. And I look at you because it's like I count on you so much, and I thank you, and I think we will do better on this. I just want to open this up to our audience because we have a family now.
Cigarette butts.
I love it.
Well, maybe we can collect a whole bunch of them in a sack and then bring them into council, here in front of the commissioners, and impress everybody.
It goes down the store and drain it into our streams and rivers.
It is all over. And those are the most annoying things to pick up. I know when I hear my little dog.
We go down to Turtle Cove there and get up a real big bag of those in a hurry. Yeah.
Yeah, I always pick up.
And now they'll have a strange odor to them here in the near future, too. You know. Yeah, I've never smelled that stuff before.
Well, no, everybody will be picking them.
Okay. You collect enough butts there and you can make a new one, right?
Yes, please.
So I was really surprised that there was no look at the state already has a litter tax.
Yes.
There's 50,000 on all the manufacturers, yes. So people manufacturing newsprint.
And it's actually part of our grant money that comes back.
Right, so that's already kind of there, so it would be like
so it comes back in the form of grant money, and see, that was, you know, that was the interesting, quick share, you know, I was working in one of the most polluted, we were just happy. We knew white smoke meant, you know, it wasn't pollution. If it had a color, we knew they were doing something, and it always happened after 5 o'clock, those emissions. You know, so you know, the community knew, you know, what was going on. But I you know, when a company does something bad, and this is my method to my madness before when we were trying to figure out, because a couple of years ago we were worried that some of the funding, and I don't remember the particular, was it grant
funding? That was our grant funding.
We were very concerned. It was going to really hit us, you know, right in the heart. And so we were working on that. We worked in great unity, I will say. We all were involved. And I'm really proud that those the state legislators before your time, Brandon, so we can't say that Brandon didn't have, you know, I'm sure Brandon would, but took an opportunity to go to the state budget office and say, what are all the fines collected? How do they get collected, and how do they get paid back out? And we looked at that. Because back in Lake County, Indiana, you know, we were able to, anytime there was a fine, we had legislated that fine came back and was used in the form of environmental funding.
This isn't my company polluting the water. This was a business decision that went bad.
However, though, there are still the point and purpose is that in order to have funding, I'm not saying that this is correct and that we really, you know, we may have philosophical differences over trying to correct this, but we need to look that this is a problem that is real. We are an advisory body, and if we are not, we need to legislate to go away.
Well, we're an advisory body for solid waste.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think that if we need to bring that back, maybe a little bit better visibility with county commissioners, maybe a little bit better visibility with the Director of Environmental Services. Hey, we're here. What part of us don't you understand? We're glad to talk to you. Maybe it's us. Maybe we didn't get out there in front of them enough. I don't know. But it's passed on the litter tax. I think it's been pretty much buried. Stormwater and water treatment. It's an issue. That's his issue, the other committee's issue, county commissioner's issue. Don't tax the solid waste to pay for water.
May I ask a question here? Kind of here in the last week or so been absolutely buried in the information on this and two other projects that I'm working on. So let me get this straight. And the reason why we're talking about this and the financial impact of stormwater is because it affects the budget for solid waste advisory.
It impacts the whole environment.
Is that what we're budget. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, and a thought of, well, we're just going to take the money as a litter tax and use it for stormwater.
I think, you know, I would like to move beyond. I don't know necessarily that.
Is that a proposed action of the commissioner?
That was a proposed suggestion by the director.
And that is where I stood up and said, if you're going to talk about a solid waste issue, have the courtesy
I got you. Thank
to come
you.
And to have.
Yeah. You and I needed to do some talking.
I mean, they're people. They've been very gracious. The county commissioners have been gracious to Lisa and I. You know, if they're not, well, Scott, we need to talk to some friends back in Chicago.
Oh, jeez.
It
brings to point the problem-solving issues, and I always appreciate the learning opportunities. But if they're not coming with, we are thinking we're going to have a problem with this, or what are your ideas? We are really not serving here. That is what our purpose is here.
And that point's well taken.
And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but we have really gotten off the track. Okay. So with that said, Pete, thank you.
Yes,
they were right.
So now
that was a long time.
You're on again.
Yes,
they were talking.
Let's move on because we have 45 minutes, folks. I don't have. Yeah, I need.
So now we're going to six. Item six, is that it?
We're going to item six: vision discussion for the new solid waste management plan economic chapter.
Okay, and that wasn't in the package that I got before.
And it was not.
Okay.
This is being handed to you.
This is brand new, fresh.
Yes. Okay.
So I will.
It even smells fresh. Yeah.
I will walk through this. I wanted to just do a very quick walk through, and then I'll go back and go into detail just to let you know what's in here.
And then we can actually bring it back again next month.
I'd like to do that.
To talk
yes.
about it.
So let's start at the back.
That's a good place.
Page 10. And you
it's kind of like my discussion with my wife there.
Oh, goodness. I want to back up just one moment, though, for the sake of, you know, Bill being new here tonight. Bill, I want you to know that the economic development chapter has never been a chapter in existence. One of our big responsibilities of this commission is to recommend forward a 5-year plan to Department
right.
of Ecology on behalf of Clark County. We've never had an economic development chapter. We believe that this was a good suggestion, and staff was able to make this happen. And so we are moving forward. But we are the first of any in the state to have something like that.
That's one of my basic questions I had, is that how much of this particular plan that Sabra gave me here, the draft that I had, how much of that has been boilerplated? How much of that has been borrowed from other, seems that the state law, how much coordination have we done with other programs that may be either further ahead of us, or are we a leader? Where are we in the process?
On this one.
Well, and for the entire solid waste system, I would say that we're probably a leader in the state.
So we don't have some footsteps to follow in some of the
we're
trial and error process they've been through and work on their successes.
In other areas in terms of what they're doing, and if they have a good idea, then we
I don't want to reinvent any wheels, is what I'm
plan
saying.
That we already have.
Yeah, the plan.
It's not like we started afresh. Right. We took our old 5-year plan.
I see. Okay.
Updated
Thank
it.
You.
With new information.
Okay.
So
history's good for me to understand.
Like, taken off from the prior plan.
Okay.
And just updating information.
How many
and adding new things.
How many revisions have we done?
How many
revisions have we done?
They go back to like the 90s.
Okay, got it.
Okay, well, let's...
And as we get into this, I want to tell you right now that one of my big things is cost and benefit analysis.
Okay.
If it doesn't pencil out, we shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
That's something that it's a cost to taxpayers if we do that.
Yes.
So there has to be some benefit in there, and it may not be financial benefit, but there has to be a tangible benefit, has some metrics attached to it so we can put a value on it. That's very important. I want to make sure that you understand that's where I'm going to be coming from is cost and benefit analysis.
So I'll just speed through from the back to the front, and then we'll go to the end. But I wanted to mostly start with the recommendations are blank. And so we're going to bring this to you, and then we're really looking to you on this chapter for recommendations. And if we go up above, we'll just look at the shaded areas. We've got materials mandates. Again, these are things that we'll cover briefly on page 9. Some policy incentives. Page 8, there is some future processing and disposal options, the way we handle our actual solid waste here in the county. We'll talk about that. It's futuristic. Page 7, we've got mandatory garbage and recycling, and I'll go into detail on all these. The Green Homes Program. On page 6, we've got Eco Business Park. On the top of that page, the North County Compost Facility. And then on page 5, we've got a carbon fiber recycling
Page 4 are some recovery programs we're looking into at the transfer station. The first is construction materials, and the second are reusables. And then if we go on to page 2 and 3, this is some background information that we worked on that we presented at the last meeting. And this just summarizes some of our solid waste system metrics as a starting point. So with that, if we can start on page 1, just with the background briefly, I won't read through this, but just to summarize, 21st century economy, I mean, we've got 3D printers, we've got amazing things that are happening. And Solid Waste Advisory Committee has chosen to capitalize on these opportunities with this new chapter. And this really has been a challenge, and I appreciate that. And hopefully, at some point, we can meet your expectations with this chapter. We'll see where we go. We are working with our green businesses to make sure that they're efficient and effective. We want to certainly retain businesses, but we do want to lay the groundwork to recruit new businesses. And I know that was an example that we talked about. And we'll talk about actual jobs that we predict might become of this. But on a ton-per-ton basis, recycling, manufacturing, recycled materials, there are a lot more jobs that are created in that process than just putting it on a barge and sending it to the landfill. So the more we can work with our waste and sort it, process it, manufacture it, put it in a product, the more jobs we have. And there's different ways we can do that. Reusing, recycling, composting. So some background information if we flip to page 2. This is more the state of where we are right now. We have, just going into our dumpsters, our garbage cans, every day, if you add that up for a year, we've got about 40,000 tons of material that's going to the transfer stations, going to the landfill, that could be easily recyclable in our actual existing programs. And the market value for that is $6 million, which is a big number, but if you look at the net present value of that over time, it actually becomes quite significant, to the point that possibly through our contracts there could be investment dollars to start to target some of these materials somehow at the transfer stations. We certainly want to work through our programs, our education, our outreach, to get people not to put this in. But, you know, again, that's been a message that we've been continuously putting out, other jurisdictions are putting out, and we just haven't been able to change those behaviors. So we're a throwaway society. Someday maybe that will change. But the intent here is to really look at this more from the standpoint of what we can control in our processing. And on page 3...
Pete, may yes. I interject
yes,
something here?
Yeah.
I'm wondering something that has been a concern of mine is that if it costs more to recycle it than it does to buy new, then that's not an economic decision that is good. So then there has to be a social issue associated with that, right?
Well, from a cost-benefit standpoint, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Because... If I'm going to pay $10 to have it recycled and I can buy a new one for $5, why would I spend $10?
Yes.
Well,
okay. All right.
I just want to stop so on the end of such, and when it comes to industries recreating something, because it's very easy on first blush to say, and certainly on a day-to-day basis, no hiding it. It does cost some money on the consumer end to get things turned around. On an industry end, it is always, there is a cost-benefit analysis that it is easier to take. So as an example, aluminum can, it is so much more reasonable for them to use recycled materials. But just like the communication gap we just talked about in the previous subject, that same one exists in the same ladder of developing these.
My question was philosophical so that I understand what we're doing here. You know, if we're trying to not have as much trash, then there is a value in that that has to be added back into the program then.
Correct.
And figuring out your cost-benefit analysis.
Correct.
But Bill, okay. if you buy something for $5,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a waste that you're going to try to recover, there's going to also be waste that can't be recovered from that. So that becomes the third factor that you add to that to give you a correct cost.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying is that I think it needs to be fully analyzed in order to come up with is this a benefit or not? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, good discussion all around. And at any time, we're going to cover a lot of ground. On page 3, again, this is more background information. But we've got over 1,700 jobs in Clark County that are related to our solid waste system. Now, a lot of those in the reuse, we included, retread tire guys, the appliance repair folks, the thrift stores. A lot of that waste is recirculated through our economy, which is great. We went through and looked at all the businesses, and you can tell the number of firms and then the actual percent of the total. We had over 393 businesses that were related, and that brought over $190 million of economic activity to our county. The majority of those dollars, as you can see, come from some of the collection process and disposal. We had $10 million in our recovered commodity revenue, so we are making some money off the recyclables. So on page 4, again, that's more background information. What we're trying to do here is look at some opportunities where we can actually create jobs. That was really the driver here. And if we look at reusables at the transfer station, we know through some work that we've done at our Recycled Arts Festival event for a period of time, for an exhibit called Tossed and Found, we would go over to the transfer station and pull out reusables. And I think anyone who has seen that exhibit can attest to the fact that there is a lot of value that is just going into the waste for one reason or another. If we were to pull some of that material out, from a cost-benefit standpoint, people are paying to drop it off at $80 a ton. If you were to sell that as a reusable commodity, there could be value coming back. And can those costs offset your transportation and basic sorting? So it's a pretty easy one. We put in some grant money to run a pilot on this, and as Anita mentioned, we'll hear on in May. Again, we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on these, but we certainly can come back in recommendations time. A similar process, we have a new C&D line that's going to be coming on with waste connections for a contract. But there's a lot of other kinds of construction demolition materials that could be pulled out, windows, roofing, a number of items. Those could potentially go to a habitat restore or something like that, create more jobs, bolster our economy through that reuse. And again, there's a lot of waste coming through our system, 230,000 tons. So it really won't take that much to spur some of this economic development. Again, those jobs are going to be smaller in the 1 to 2, 3 to 4 range. There's really no particular order for these initiatives. Carbon fiber recycling, this is more setting us in this shovel-ready mode so that if we were to capitalize on an item, I don't know if anyone has the new BMW i3 or i8, but if you do, you're lucky. And it's also primarily made
of... Can I try with one?
I'm in the wrong business, I guess.
It's made of carbon fiber. If you've been following Andy Lovins and lightweighting of vehicles, it's strong, it's lightweight. The problem is to recycle those materials both in the manufacture of that product as waste and then at the end of the life, it's going to require new technology, but at this point in time, manufacturing is enlightened enough that they want their product recycled at the end of the market. In that vein, Greg Warr has set up a significant venture in Moses Lake, Washington, right here, so we're kind of a hotbed. You might know about some of that, too.
It's a new plant.
There was some legislative action to make that happen. That's something we could possibly tour as a solid waste plan group. We are poised. We also have Christensen Electric, Christensen Yacht, that does a lot of fiber-type materials. So, again, could Clark County step out and own some of this? There's going to be some certain entrepreneur opportunities to work with this. Boeing has set a goal to recycle all of that material. So again, very far into the future, but if we don't start the vision somewhere, someone else will grab those jobs, if they in fact exist, which I believe they will, because that's the direction we're going for this.
Just to build on the Boeing part, I mean, part of that tax package they just got, they have to do all their carbon fiber in Washington State. So everything they're doing in Japan is coming to Washington, and they're going to do their entire new 777 plane out of carbon fiber, the wings anyway. So that's going to increase dramatically. I mean, the plant's going to be up kind of where they are now in the Puget Sound area, but I'm sure we'll have some spin-offs of some sort down here doing work too. So. But that's going to increase dramatically.
Okay, flipping over to page 6. We're kind of all over the board here, but we're thinking there would be a lot of work involved in this, a lot of cost benefit, for sure. We've got 20,000 tons of yard debris that we collect through our yard carts that we have complete control of. Right now, that material is all truck-loaded and processed in Oregon with all of their jobs and infrastructure. We also collect food waste. We've talked about adding food waste to our yard debris program, but there's a lack of a local processor to do that. If we were able to site a facility, and there are some good opportunities that potentially could exist in North County, there's some industrial land, it's on a railroad, it's possibly away enough from the odor standpoint, and could that material be collected and moved and processed economically? One option would be for the county, through our solid waste fund and program, to be more proactive in buying up some of that land and preparing it and then leasing that out to a private venture at a low lease cost to operate. Again, compost would be valuable, and those are jobs that we can keep here locally. There's going to be more need for compost and dealing with stormwater issues, actually, for bioretention. And certainly opportunities for our food production. So I think keeping our organics local, creating jobs, creating more opportunities could be a good thing for this community. We do have a tour set up to go down to Corvallis to look at PRC, which is an allied compost facility. It's uncovered, doesn't have a whole lot of pad space, and they seem to be running it pretty efficiently. So again, I don't think we're talking necessarily high-tech, covered, bells and whistles type compost facility here. This is something that could probably be done at a reasonable price.
What is the final product out of the compost?
It would be compost.
In other words, is that like a fertilizer? Is that what we're talking
about? It's more of an amendment. I think it's high. Well, Brandon probably.
No, I think that's right.
That's right for your landscape business, right?
Yeah, I mean, you get a lot of the things you'd get out of a chemical fertilizer through compost. It's not good for every situation, but with the amount of bad soils we have around here, it's a good thing to amend in.
How's that packaged and sold?
Well, I mean, they could sell it bulk. They could bag it and sell it to Home Depot. I mean, that'd be a business decision, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I buy it by the truck.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing about compost is with the state's new stormwater requirements, low-impact development is one of their focus,
okay.
And compost is a very important component of constructing those types of infrastructure.
Okay.
Any of the road projects, infrastructure projects, they're putting it in, you know, the medians and the rain gardens and all the various things.
Yeah.
And we've got street sweepings, we've got biosolids, the city as well, so there are opportunities to maybe fold some of that material in as well. This next one is a little bit more broad, but we did talk, and I know at some point I'll turn it over to Anita, we can talk a little bit what they've done in Chicago, but there are some opportunities just to create more of an eco-business park-type setting, and we have the Leichner landfill. That is one of the options for that master plan, would be to have that be a site that attracts, possibly through some of our policy initiatives, environmental businesses, resource-based businesses, and Mike talked about the 10-acre site, 35-acre site. There is discussion. Our current Clark County Public Works operations is at 78th Street. It's on the county 33-mile railroad, a prime place to develop for rail, and there has been discussions possibly moving our ops somewhere else. That could be done at Leichner. We could become a CNG gas station, possibly, because right now we've got a mobile unit with waste connections. But they're only at 12 to 15 vehicles. We can expand that to all their vehicles, county public works, the fuel, the public. So, again, opportunities, don't know where the jobs are on that one. Green Homes Program, on page 7. And I'm bummed Rem's not here, so you have to report back to Rem, because this one's all for Rem.
We have to tear them away.
There's a thing called Property Assessed Clean Energy. It's PACE. Most states legislatively allow this. Washington State is one of those that does not. So this is a variation on that, where you can basically use the property taxes as a way so the way it works is we would use possibly solid waste dollars, solid waste fund, to leverage energy retrofit programs. And those are all local jobs, and they are done with the cost benefit specific penciling out. So if I can save 25% on my energy bills, you still pay that same amount. You don't have to pay any money up front to get your retrofit done. And then that 25% savings goes to pay off that investment. And then what we would do at the county level is that initial investment that you're not paying any money on could go on the property tax so that you don't pay. So it's a little bit complex, but from a funding standpoint, what this does is it creates a significant new retrofit energy industry in the county. And they've done this in New York, and they have created significant amounts of jobs. 20 new green jobs through this program is not an underestimate. I think that's something that could be feasible. Again, it's looking at waste and sustainability and using our influence a little bit differently.
So if I may interject something here. A lot of these programs that have been tried in the UK, and they've been tried in various parts of the country, the overhead is so terrible on them that they don't even get out into the very few of the homes are fitted for the programs. This one I really got some apprehension about. For instance, I was noticing this might come up in the agenda, and the Washington Policy Center came out here about the state's green building standards don't create energy-efficient buildings. The rules haven't changed despite the high cost, in many cases, negative results. And they've got some documentation on this that tried it in schools and come to find out that the older buildings are more efficient than the new ones are. So I really think that we need more research into this before we go forth with a recommendation on this.
That's good discussion, and on the green building, I am totally with you.
Thank you.
This one would be, if you're paying $100 for energy to CPU, they come in and do a retrofit that's paid off in your savings. Your bill will be the same, $100, but your usage will be 75% less.
And what's the payback time on that?
Again, those would be, you would only do paybacks that pencil out.
Okay.
So you wouldn't do solar panels, but you would fund all those low-hanging fruit that we should be doing in this community.
And that would be, we have another commission member who really is an expert in determining those paybacks, because that's a big deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that they would die before they get their payback on it, too, depending on how much you invested in it. So.
These ones would be probably 1, 2, 3-year paybacks.
Okay, good.
And good input. Yeah, we can keep moving forward. The next ones are this next one, mandatory garbage and recycling. Again, the more garbage we collect, the more recycling we collect, the more drivers. So this one is a simple one. In practice, we could add a couple drivers, and that's really what we're talking about here. But if we're looking for jobs, this is something we could do. The city of Vancouver already has mandatory garbage and recycling. There would be impacts from that recommendation for sure. The person who self-hauls their garbage, that's kind of a right. So you would be taking that away and forcing them to pay a new speak. So not one that would go lightly, but something to consider. This last one on page 8, there are new ways that folks are looking at trash. And it's converting it. It's not waste energy. This is not incineration. There's something called mechanical biological treatment, material recovery and biological treatment, where they actually recycle all the materials, and then what's left they compost. There's another, which is called biorefineries, and this is actually being built as we speak, or being worked on in the city of Edmonton, where they will take 100,000 tons of the city's waste and produce 10 million gallons of fuel. And that's done without burning that at a high temperature, which has really been the impact of these waste energy plants, because that creates that. This is done at a low temperature, and it's all bio, and you're dealing with the plastic packaging, the paper packaging, and you're pulling out all the other materials. So again, recycling as much as you can on the front end, and...
I went home last time, and I was kind of upset, because I saw in this thing here, this is the status of what we know now. And to me, we're looking at a five-year plan, and we have no idea what's going to happen 4 years from now. Sure. And on this one in particular, I think we ought to be developing a means where somebody... The new inventions are not going to come from this committee. Sure. It's going to come from some young kid or somebody that has an idea. And so what I would kind of like to see, there's some things in here that are really good,
yes,
but how would we encourage that person to come to Clark County? You know, what planning incentives would we offer? Now, I did see, you know, like there's tax incentives that,
sure,
once you got beyond the planning stage, but I would like not to solve it now, but to have a path on how to solve it in the next 5 years, come up with that path, so that maybe 6 years from now, we would have a plan that person could come here and say, I'm interested in doing this brand new thing that we don't know about right now. And how do I get started? And, you know, I don't want to go through a lot of red tape. I want some quick things to get started and then go into the details later on. And then that's what I think I would like to see in here, is not already solutions or thought of ideas or what somebody else is doing, but say that in the next 5 years we're going to be looking at how that can, we can encourage that in the future. And then be working on it now. And so that, to me, is what we ought to be looking at here. That's just my idea.
So maybe this is where I should...
Yeah, and this is a good segue.
Because it is a good segue. And even though I wasn't here last time, I know there was some conversation about Chicago and how they have become, how they have established themselves as the great manufacturing hub. So I did spend some time in looking at that. And there's a lot of stuff that's online. There's some reports. I have hard copies. If you'd like to look at the copies, so I can send you PDFs and links and stuff. But the short story is that they spent at least 3 or 4 years studying, planning, and just doing what you described. It's like, how do we establish ourselves so that we're in a position to make things happen? And generally, as a government, basically what they did was, it's planning. I mean, what it boils down to is planning. They looked at their industrial corridors. They have established manufacturing zones. They've looked at their transportation infrastructure, their utility infrastructure. In particular, what they looked at as far as utilities, it's not just the water and the sewer, it's also the broadband and the internet, you know, and all of those capabilities. And then they looked at their zoning and their regulations. Some of the tools that they use, which some of them are listed in here, but... They had established enterprise zones. They looked at tax credits. They looked at property tax incentives. They had bank participation loans. They had bonding opportunities. They had small business funds opportunities. And they even had workforce training that the city would provide. So it's really a big picture of establishing all of the infrastructure so that if somebody's interested, they come and look, and all of this is in place, and it's like, then it becomes easier.
And if they see, okay, you have all of these things ready, it makes it easier for them, and
exactly.
They would pick this rather than King County or somewhere
exactly.
else that doesn't have that in place.
Exactly.
Part of it was what they had said, and I wish I could say it was 5 years ago, but I know when I heard that on the radio that somebody, just like this commission, came out and said, we want to have this, and we will be. And now they are. And so I do not want to diminish the work that is going into this. I do think it's through recommendations.
Yes.
And I also
yes,
believe
I
that it is through, just like our educational chapter, that we set goals and objectives.
Right.
But I do think
so
recommendations are
important. Recommendations that we can talk about next time. I think,
if I may interrupt once again here, I sit on the CRDC, the Columbia River Economic Development Council, and I'm on the executive committee there, and that's right above the board of directors. And a lot of the things that you're talking here now, CRDC is doing with that. We have an economic development department at the city, and you have it here at the county level. And I think a lot of this is duplication in there, and I'm really wondering if there shouldn't be, some, before you devoting more time to this, to do some coordinating between CRDC and our economic development departments in both entities here to see that there's not this duplication. Education, for instance, CRDC just had a lunch on that, and we specifically addressed education. So we have committees on that. We have policy. We have business development, you know, so a lot of this is duplication there, and I think that before you develop and spend more time on this, you ought to take a look at what's going on at CRDC.
So, Bill, I am just going to confront the gorilla in the room on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there needs to be some direct communication. I have certainly spoken up, not in this meeting, but I was particularly cognizant of, I attended the economic forecast.
Yes, right.
There
yeah.
was not a single
I think the Columbia did that, yeah.
county member there. That's probably why. And you know, I think it's difficult to talk about some things. It makes it easier maybe because I'm not an elected official. I can respect, you are, Brandon is. But I think that people expect us to talk about the hard subjects. And I would very much like to know, how do you? I have, trust me, as the chair to this commission, and I just saw Mike Bomar, and I said, Mike, I'm just a little bit surprised you haven't responded back. And you don't like to go to boards, and yet it was a board. I was like, give Mike a chance, But sometimes there are things there that because of my association with the county on this matter, it has been difficult. And, I think it's unexcusable for anybody to never return a telephone call. Thank goodness all of you people in this room return a telephone call. But even if I don't like someone, I return the telephone call, I return a telephone call. Nothing to say to you.
Could I do this then? See if I can get Mike here for the next meeting here and have him address this group.
Well, I want to be careful on that, and here's why I want to be careful on that. I would encourage you to have conversation, represent the city.
Sure.
You have a connection on the board.
Yep.
And that's where I want to go. I do want to be careful, and if we get a chance to ever catch up on all the background on some of these things, then we have become a very focused group. We're going to be done before 8 o'clock tonight. We used to not be done at 8 o'clock at night. And part
then I better sit down and be quiet for a while.
Part of it is that, I sound like a broken record, and you probably get nightmares hearing me say, now remember, we're an advisory group to the commissions. We provide recommendations. And everyone has been very mindful of that.
Yeah.
And so I, not that I don't want to have Mike here, but if we're going to have Mike here, then we need to. And it might be an appropriate work session topic to Mayor Wiggins
sure.
to sit down. And I think I would want to establish what staff thinks on that, because I'm sure that they might have some directives.
And there is some history, political history involved in this between county and CREDC and other issues that perhaps are beyond the purview of this particular group. But I would like to say, though, that the atmosphere in the last year with CREDC and their involvement and the stuff that they're doing now is much improved under Mike Bomar now. And I would like to just make that as an announcement to everybody here that we're the city working much closer with them now than we have in the past. And I think it's because of the leadership that Mike is now providing. And then Larry Paulson was in that for a period of time before that, too, which laid a lot of good groundwork. So I really think that there's a lot of work that's been done here, and it's very obvious. But at the same time, if this is then made, not try to really spend a lot of time doing this, but to address it in the plan and then reference the work and to get a cross-reference that CREDC is doing this and work closer with CREDC in this, then this could become a better document and have, yeah, and have much,
yeah,
exactly, be much more effective.
And this, yeah, focus would be on waste industries.
Yeah.
And that would be the interface.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure that CREDC would appreciate the work that, exactly, is being done here to include that, and we can work jointly,
yes,
to make it a more effective program. And the IPZ, for instance, we've got one going here now. You mentioned an economic zone, and we have the IPZ is here now for electronics and high tech,
right,
and two centers, one out on out in Camas area, and then one in downtown Vancouver. So that is something that we need to take advantage of also.
Yes.
And I don't think that's in... do you address IPZs in here?
Just in terms of...
Okay.
Zones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's take a few minutes. Can we move into recommendations? Are we ready?
What would you rather talk about doing next time?
I think everybody needs to look at this, because,
yeah,
Bill brought up a good point. And Bill, and it's my perception of this plan, this is a chapter of many chapters.
Right.
And the whole solid waste management plan is the whole plan. This is just one section of it, and it's meant as a reference and as a guide throughout this five-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right, we need to tie in the recommendations various groups together. But we as solid waste people want to say, okay, we want to start pushing to this redevelopment, to the reuse. I mean, I look at the number of tonnage of steel going into the landfill, and there's got to be a better way to handle that.
Yeah. And that will be a part of my recommendations. But I do want to provide just a slight background and a reminder, because it was out of meeting with the small cities and towns. Particularly, there is a small group to the east that formed their own economic development group. And my discussion with them was actually before they formed that. And when I asked them about how they use this and what their greatest needs are, they said, we need help with economic and business development. And even some of those communities, they said, we can't, this one business is here and we can't go and we can't meet with them. There are problems that are unique, that not that the CREDC isn't doing things and, you know, on a big basis, we are doing things on a big basis in environmental services. But we need to provide a means that if I'm a small, you know, and I'll pick on Richfield because Richfield was all the hit tonight, on one small piece, you know, okay, well, if I want to look at this, if I want to have an idea, can I go to this? If I don't have somebody in the county that I can go to, and, I appreciate your mention of politics. If I don't have somebody, and I'm reading through this, what do I do if I am Richfield? And I look at this, and I think, okay, this is a great idea for us. We like this. We want to start this. We're, you know, the whole
you know, we want to have an eco park. We're building a new center. We're going to do the whole eco neighborhood. You know, if there's something in here that supports what we're doing, I sure hope that in 5 years we can, you know, be like the city of Chicago that said, we said we would and we will. Let's make a note of that, Sandra, because in 5 years I want to be able to go back.
And just to build on that, because I think you're absolutely right, is this is your opportunity to apply our staff and solid waste resources and potentially the solid waste bond.
But it doesn't just have to be staff.
No, we don't have to go it alone.
That's right.
Well, but in terms of directing or navigating, if it's not in the plan and we go to the commissioners and say, or you know, we say we want to do this, it's hard.
Yeah.
So having it in the plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It becomes a priority then for our budget and our staff.
Because the commissioners adopt the plan.
Yeah. So based upon your recommendations.
That's right. Based
on your so it is a good way to push things forward, really.
I remember one time asking Commissioner Bolt something had come up, and I said, how did that happen? And he was a smart man at the time when he answered. He said, I believe that came out of the Solid Waste Advisory Commission recommendation. I was like, oh!
He knew which button to press, didn't he?
He did.
He did.
He absolutely it took care of me, and you know, usually I'm not speechless.
If folks have other ideas, please pass them along. But yep. I'll look forward to the recommendations.
So, very consuming, and such. So, oh, we still have the overview. Do you want to pass?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Next time.
All right. Other, what?
Can you move the overview up for next time?
For next time.
Top of the list.
Yeah, let's put it up
top of the list. Yeah,
because that is an important piece, but I do feel, I feel really good about what we accomplished tonight. On this other business, anything from the state
legislature?
You
got out.
I'm done. And a balanced budget, too.
With some left over.
Hang on to it. You may need it real quick.
No, it was actually an interesting year, though. But not a lot of substance got through, which I guess could be good, could be bad, depending on how you look at it. But you know, looking forward to some of the stuff, though, we are moving forward in that big industrial land bank in north of here, and you know, just looking at the, you know, potential sectors and construction debris and X, Y, and Z. That'll be a big one when it comes to fruition.
All right, good. Comments from the public on non-agenda item. Yeah.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't say something about Gary.
Thank you.
We've got a long-standing relationship, a good relationship. You talked about mentors that he's had, and he's certainly been a mentor and advisor to us. You know, with the closing of the Leichner landfill, we opened up facilities to meet the needs of the community well into the future. And we always hoped that we did the right thing. We continue to do the right thing. But it was always easy to call Gary and say, Gary, this could be an issue. Can you come down and assist us? You know, and we were able to do that without a heavy burden of maybe there could be a fine or something imposed there. If we did do something wrong, unbeknownst to us, then we're guilty. But Gary was always willing to work with us and give us a different perspective or an insight. And I found that so valuable throughout the years. And then obviously his good work here with the, you know, the SWAT as well. So, Gary, I really appreciate everything you've done. Really, really.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you very much.
Stand for Gary.
Yay!
Yeah. Meeting adjourned.
All right.
I caught a couple of them.
Yeah, I'm sure
you copied along the way there.
This is just a draft, too, and so if you have some highlights on there.
Yeah, there was a... that was a question I had there. There's one place in here where you have an E at the end of, or instead of a D on beyond. Did you notice that?
No, I haven't even, I didn't really do this.
Oh, okay.
But if you have corrections on there.
Yeah, and then there's a place where there's a comma in there that shouldn't have been in there. Just little piddly things like that.
But how can I get that? Should I take your notes?
I'll get it to you later.
Okay.
I think we met you back in there when we were doing the Green Ribbon.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that was.